Greetings and welcome to the St. James Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. My name is Pastor Seth Thomas, and we're trying something new. I'm adding a little bit of a introduction portion to our podcast to see if this is helpful. If you're interested and want to share your feedback, you can email me at pastor@stjamespress.org. This week's sermon, We Can't Go Alone, from December 8th, 2024, featuring Ruth chapter 1. Our secondary reading this week comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Before we begin with the sermon, just a few announcements for what's going on around here at St. James this week. We have our annual Christmas caroling on Saturday, December the 14th at 4:30 at Rosewood Villa on 32nd Street in Bellingham. There's a number of other activities and things going on this week and next, so please check our church website at stjamespress.org/live to see the entire week's service and follow along with our events.
Good morning. Please bow your heads and join me for the prayer of illumination. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the time to gather and to delve into your scriptures. We pray for the opportunity to hear what you're saying. We pray that our ears and eyes are opened, not just as we read scriptures, but everywhere we go, as we are your servants out in the world. Please bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first scripture reading is from Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. If you wish to read along, it's on page 616 in your blue Bibles, in your pews. Verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The word of the Lord.
Our choral anthem this week is actually going to be a different piece. It's called Is Your Heart Prepared for a King? And our choir would like to encourage us to have a little moment of contemplation afterwards, so there will be no applause. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. In this season of Advent, we are guided by words of beginning, words that help us mark out the journey and take a step out the door together towards the home God calls us. Is it a physical journey? Well, yeah, sometimes it is. This journey of growing towards the dawning Christmas light, it moves us to get up out of the door and onward into spaces beyond our complacency and stability. It is physical in that we are invited to move our bodies closer to Jesus, drawing near in expectation of his arrival. It is physical in that we must get up and walk and leave behind what we no longer need. And this physical journey is one that we must accompany each other on, walk alongside each other, offer support, courage, and commitment. People of God, will you walk together, journeying in communion with one another as we all move towards God's presence? Our texts today are a little different than what you might expect from the second week of Advent. There's a loose tie between today's story that begins in Bethlehem, at least at its starting and ending. We'll hear the narrative of Ruth, the Moabite, and Naomi, her mother-in-law. This unlikely pair shows us a story of God's faithfulness that extends beyond the boundaries of nationality, ethnicity, and blood. In the second week of Advent, we speak of peace. Today's readings guide us in the way of peace in our relationships, our deep connections with our dear friends and family. Now, before I read the scripture again today, I want to invite you into another mental exercise like last week. Last week, I invited you to think of words, nicknames, perhaps that you were called when you were younger. Our guiding theme last week was to remember that we each are a blessing, and that those special names remind us that we are blessed as we bear them. Friends, you are a blessing. Today, I want you to pause and maybe close your eyes and think again. This time, I want you to think about a person that you hold dear. It might be a partner or a sibling or a parent. Think of a person that you've walked alongside for a season of your life, perhaps for many seasons of your life. A dear friend, someone closer than family, a partner in business perhaps, but the kind of partner who is more than a partner, but rather a dear, dear comrade. Hold that person in your mind. If you have trouble picking, simply choose someone that you've shared a good deal of life with, someone you've journeyed with. Say their name in your mind. Picture them. Somewhere along your journey, God wove your stories together. Like stitches in these quilts that we have before us, you crossed and wove together and worked in tandem to make a whole life. Our reading from Ecclesiastes is helpful with this exercise. Who in your life has been a part of your braided cord? Friends, we cannot go it alone. The journey is much too perilous. The road is often unmarked or unclear. And we need partners and friends and co-laborers who walk alongside us. Let's hear our reading from the book of Ruth, where two unlikely women become deep partners in life, journeying together. You'll find this printed on pages 241 and 242 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she heard that in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in your household." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your own way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear you sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return to your sister-in-law, or return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Let us pray. God, journey with us. We trust that you go ahead, prepare our way. But Lord, also we ask that you would provide partners for the journey. For the road that we walk, we need each other. We cannot go alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, we are meant to be a people who walk together in this life. Literally. We are walking alongside each other, all journeying towards the destination God calls us to. It's a time of Advent, as we know. It's a time of gathering and anticipation, expectation, celebration. It's a time for us to seek out the light when it feels like it's really hard to see out there in the world. Today, I want to get really practical about what journeying together means. We live in a very lonely, isolating world. Study after study, article after article affirms this reality. We live in a loneliness pandemic. We know that this is heightened as well by times where we live through an actual pandemic, where we were separated from one another. It's heightened by our nation's divided politics. But whatever it is, whatever the reality is, we're lonelier than ever, more disconnected than ever. So what do we do about this? As I said, today I want to be really practical. As a church, we have a number of strategies for how we work against this problem of loneliness. But I have to say that they aren't always enough. We can always do more. I want to highlight a few of the good things that we do as a church that invite us to be more connected and more stable together. One of the things that we do here at St. James is we have deacons. If you're a deacon, would you raise your hand? Hey, wonderful deacons. Deacons are ordained members of our congregation who are called and directed to care for the needs of the hurting, the sick, the poor, and the lonely. In our context, they work in pairs to oversee a segment of our congregation, and we call these things parishes. Each person in a parish is checked on at the least. Many of our deacons send cards to folks on their birthday, or they'll bring a meal when there's an illness. This is good, good work. And by the way, we're still looking for a couple of deacons for our new nominating class. So if you feel called to this kind of work, we would love to talk to you about that. And if you've not been added to a parish, and you would like to be a part of that, if you would like to be a part of that care structure here, let's get you signed up. Check the deacon parishes in the hallway right across from the bathrooms after the service, and if your name's not on there, we would love to get you connected with one. So talk to me, talk to one of those people that rose their hands, or talk to another person around here that that could help you connect. We'd love to get you in a parish. We'll get you added right away. Another thing we do as a church is we pray for each other. We share the needs that we have every time we gather in worship, and we lift them up to God. We also email each other throughout the week, ways that we can pray for and support one another. This is another way that we stay connected and make sure that we work against the loneliness. Yet another key way that we keep connected is more organic. It's the friendship that we each establish in our time gathered together here. It's the spending of time together at things like worship or our Advent festival after service or going on a service project and helping together. It's by showing up that we can be known. We have to take a step and move towards others to be present, which can be difficult at times, but when we do, we can connect and build networks of belonging and care that are often unspoken but relied upon in times of need. And I want to give you an example of that. A couple of weeks ago, I want to illustrate this informal, organic, vital form of care. A couple of weeks ago, a few of us noticed that there was one of our members we hadn't seen recently, nor heard from. This member has not been able to drive for a while, and so we haven't seen them in worship. But another member, without being prompted, noticed this too and set about trying to get a hold of this person. It turned out that they'd been hospitalized and they needed support. Because one person simply noticed that their pew mate had not been around and took action to look in on them, we were able to connect and support this person more fully. It's beautiful. These organic ties. I want to add a hope for some of the things that we do here with that example in mind. My prayer would be that each and every one of us here at St. James knows that there is at least one person who has an eye on them, who's checking in, making sure they're okay. Think about it like a buddy system. It's pretty simple. But I pray that everyone in this congregation would know that they have a buddy. I pray that you know you do. Do you have a St. James buddy that you've found? I see a few of you leaning into each other. It's great. Perhaps you're still trying to feel things out and find your buddy. That's okay. Friends, we want to be able to check in on one another and care for each other. It's not difficult stuff. It's not terribly creative. It's simply about noticing the basic needs and seeing each other when we need help. Friends, are you willing to do this for someone in your congregation? Perhaps you need a buddy. Perhaps you're worried that you don't have a connection like that, and so you're not sure how to get one. Let's talk. We'll put you together with somebody. We've got lots of great people in this community who can be buddies. We don't have to call them buddies. I get that. But, you know, there are plenty of people here who can offer mutual support to one another. Here's another practical way we do this. It's kind of an administrative thing. After the service today, downstairs at the Advent Festival, we'll have drafts of our church directory. Church directories are really helpful, aren't they? They can help us know where people go, like how to call people, how to email them, how to connect. We need to make sure that we have all of our most up-to-date information. So downstairs, there's a table. We've got draft directories. I want you to go and make sure that your stuff that's in there is correct. Make sure that the stuff you want in there is there, and the stuff that you don't want in there is not in there. If you don't want people to email you, don't put your email in there. We can do that. But go through the directory with me. I'll be down there. And we'd love to make sure we have your up-to-date information. Sharon's been doing a great job the last couple weeks of taking the pledge forms, making sure that they're updated in our database and everything. But we want to make sure that we get these physical copies out to people. We hope to have them out in the beginning of the year. I also need to take some photos of some folks, so if you want to come down, I'd love to get your photo. We've got a couple spots. We can just do a quick one. It'd be great if you would like to be in our directory. Again, it's not terribly complicated, but this is important stuff, and this is the stuff of journeying together. Now, how does this all connect? Why is this our Advent 2 week topic? Well, friends, we can't keep walking in darkness alone. Here in God's church, we have to be focused on making sure that people are looked after, that we have friends for the journey, and that we each provide the support that the other needs. When you make this church your home here at St. James, you're committing to make that a priority. So many have done it through the years, journeying together. We want to invite you into that as well. In times of isolation and loneliness, these kind of simple practices are radical. They push against the isolation. They help us stay together with one another, to support each other. Think of all the partnerships that we hear in the Advent stories, as well as throughout Scripture. We have Mary with her cousin Elizabeth, walking together through pregnancy. We have Joseph, who has Mary, this woman who's been that he's betrothed to, who he doubles down and commits to by virtue of the angel's revelation. We have the wise travelers from the east who journey together to follow the star. Jesus has his disciples, Peter, James, and John, as partners in ministry, as well as the entire group of the 12. Paul had Silas, Deborah had Gael, David had Jonathan, friends who are like kin. The Christ child is born into a world of isolation, loneliness, division, and fear. And with this birth, God makes us a promise. You do not walk alone. You know, the name that we call the Son of God born in the manger was Emmanuel. Everybody know what that means? God with us. God is with us in Christ. As the prophet foretold, the people who walked in darkness see the light. This is the guide that brings us home, a beacon of hope in times of despair. And friends, may we continue to live this out in our own lives, being lights and beacons for one another, journeying as one people. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you stay, I will stay, and we will live this journey together. Friends, we are this family and friends gathered together, journeying with one another. It is an honor and a joy to get to walk with you all. Let's pray. God, bind us together, knit our lives, that we might be your people who are connected, supportive, mutually caring for one another. In all of this, Lord, help it push against the isolation and loneliness that we all so feel. God, let us know that you are present with us, that you are embodied in the hands and feet of the people we sit next to and walk through our days with. Christ, shine that light upon our lives, our relationships, and our gathered body here. In your name we pray.